Wait, so can you not get security clearance to things? Is that something that's barred from you at all?
So what's interesting, this is something that I just pulled up. So when you, here in the state of Arizona, if you get convicted of a felony, which can range from, up until a little bit ago, having weed was a felony. It was an F6, all the way to murder or something huge like an F1. You lose all this stuff and possibly more. You lose the right to possess a firearm, the right to possess a weapon. You lose the right to vote. You become ineligible.
Wait, you don't have a right to vote?
I cannot vote. I still can't vote.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why I'm not very political because like, no point.
You can't do anything about it.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Oh my God.
You lose the right to vote. And until you get your civil rights restored, I could vote.
Yeah.
Not gonna count.
Why?
It doesn't matter.
What?
Because I lost that right.
Wait, so when do you get your civil rights when you get out? That's what you're saying.
You have to get them back. They are not automatically given back to you.
What? But you're like allowed in society.
Yeah, yeah. So, they say civil rights and there's like a range of them and everything. Yeah. So like the right to vote and the right to possess a firearm and other things, you have to get your rights restored. And that can happen a few ways. Generally, once you complete everything, so you commit a crime, you do the time, you have probation, parole, something. You complete all that. Now you're off paper. You're done. Now your debt has been repaid, if you will.
Okay.
And that's when you can file for a set aside here in Arizona. We do not do expungements.
Okay.
So, but I do have something interesting on that. And then if you get approved for the set aside, your rights are automatically restored. Now, this is, I don't know 100% on this. I think the right to a firearm goes with that, but some people have told me that it's a separate thing because felons with guns, they're kind of like, hey.
Yeah.
And I get that. I'm not real opposed to that. But I do know the process to do it isn't insanely complicated, but it, you know, you would need to do a bit of digging.
Right.
Mine is really interesting because I went to get my rights back. I got off of probation early. I completed everything, paid off everything. Been completely following the rule book, all that fun stuff, and then went to do a set aside, and they said, "Yeah, no, absolutely. You just owe $3,995 on this one." And I said, "What are you talking about? I paid everything off."
Yeah.
And they said, "No, not on this charge." I was like, "Well, how did I get off of probation without paying it off?" And they were like, "We don't know.
We don't know.
But if you pay this, we can do it. $4,000."
What a crazy thing to say.
And I looked into it, and I paid, I think, around $20,000 over the course of my time.
Yeah.
Because there's probation fees. There's an 83% surcharge with everything.
83%? Yeah, right? That seems
it's pretty high.
A little excessive, a little gratuitous.
So I'm going to fine you $1,000, and I'm going to charge you an 83% surcharge. So you're going to pay $1,830.
Why? Where is that going?
Damn near double that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I know. When you get hit with that and it'll be like multiple charges and stuff, you're kind of like...
Kick you when you're down. I mean, that's me, insane. Right?
It's a huge money thing. And I think that's a lot of... I don't know. I'm sure there's revenue that goes into like states and everything like that. Hey, you committed a crime. Okay, we're going to hit you with a financial penalty. Traffic violation, something like that. And I get it and I understand it. But yeah, sometimes the fines get real excessive.
Where that's you're crazy.
Like, dude, I'm going to be paying this for a very long time.
That's a student loan right there. Like $20,000 over that time. Yeah. Like, my God.
And then you can't, until they're paid off, like you can't really get off of paper. Like you can still be restricted and everything. And so that's the frustrating part. But you're just getting out. Like, let's say you just got out of prison. You don't have a lot of opportunities for a job. You're not going to make $100,000 right out the gate. And like, oh, you owe 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 grand in fines.
You know, how do you pay
under
that?
Under a mountain of debt as well.
Yeah.
And odds are you're probably not super smart with finances or credit or something like that. Unfortunately, like that's just how it goes. And it sucks. It's very, when I got out, and I'll keep using me as the example just because like it's a well-known one.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about credit. My credit score was a 490 or I think even less.
Okay.
It was terrible. It was so bad.
Wait, 490 prior or 490 after prison?
No, when I got out.
Okay.
Do
you know if it takes a hit? Is that how that works?
No, not from going to prison because I was dumb beforehand
and
everything. But I had all of that debt and I didn't know anything about it. No one taught me anything about it. And so I had to pay all of it off. Now I'm like in the 800s, everything. So I did better.
Oh, wow. That's a huge recovery.
Yeah. But it's, I don't know. You're trying to rebuild that credit and everything. Yeah. And then you have this huge mountain of debt and you're like, it's super overwhelming.
Oh, I can imagine.
But yeah, so no, anyway, back with this, because yeah. I apologize. There's a few more that I found really interesting. Some of the rights that you lose, you become ineligible for immigration.
Okay.
And I can kind of understand it. You know, hey, if you're trying to join a country, you know, don't commit a crime. You become ineligible for elected office, for professional licenses, for housing. And that one has always frustrated me.
How does that work exactly?
I'm sure that's probably like Section 8 or some other programs. But at the same time, you're going to rent a house.
Mm-hmm. Background check. Correct. Oh, mm-hmm. Felony category.
I don't feel comfortable with this felon living in my house. I will not rent to you.
Wow. What do you do? I don't understand. Like, if that's normal, right? If you're going to prison for even something super petty, and that's what I learned from you prior to talking this, that I thought background checks were like, okay, yeah, the tag comes up, right? Oh, red flag, felon, sure. But I thought like a report came with it, at least somewhat detailed.
Not
like,
always, no.
Here's what they did. Here's what they're at now.
Not really.
No. Just literally just felon. That's it.
Just a
doesn't matter what they did. Doesn't matter happened.
It'll have like court minutes. Like this charge convicted on this date or something.
And that's it?
Yeah. So and that's the thing they care about is, were you convicted?
Right.
It's like, yeah, because...
I did the thing.
I'm sure we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
the court systems and stacking charges and like, I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
You know? So it's so frustrating and because you want the chance to explain it, let's say. This happened to me a lot with like jobs and even like housing.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what happened. I'm not this. Get to know me. But people see that and they think, no, criminal, bad, dangerous. Right.
I'm sad to say that I was in that kind of implicative group where it's criminal equals bad. Well, maybe they shouldn't have all these rights.
Right.
But I guess I was more thinking of like murderers, the worst of the worst.
Right.
Yeah. We probably shouldn't give them a gun. Like simple stuff like that. But you're saying like even petty crime, stuff that like really felonies. You didn't even harm anyone. Yeah. Like nothing crazy happened, but you did some time. And now you're just done for like years after that. Not even just for like the time in prison.
There's even drug offenses. I mean, there's crazy, crazy drug addiction and everything going on nowadays. A lot of drug offenses are felonies. Mm-hmm. So that's your biggest thing. Was it a felony? Was it a misdemeanor? Oh, it's a misdemeanor. We could kind of get over it.
Sure.
And maybe we'll look by a felony.
Can't.
That's big.
Sorry. Yeah.
But then that is my biggest question when getting into houses or trying to get jobs or anything like that. It's like, all right, well, what was the nature of the crime? How long ago was it? And I think that's a company liability question to like, we're not going to say no for sure, but let's hear about it. But it's almost like their decision's already made.
Right.
And that's what it sucks.
Yeah.
Because
you're like, dude, like,
here's the thing. Okay, well, here's the information about it. And they're like, uh-huh. And you're
that's
like,
great.
You're not really listening,
but
are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I know you have a story with that and we'll get to that, but I want to start from the beginning as well. Like,
yeah.
So I have only heard actually kind of, you know, little pieces of the story. I've never actually heard the entire story of your thing. Before we get into that, I do want to say though that when you like we've worked together and in passing you're like, oh yeah, my time in prison, I truly thought you were joking.
Oh really?
Like I was like, no chance this guy has done any time. Yeah. Again, you're one of the nicest, most genuine, most qualified people I know.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way he's ever committed a crime. Like that's what I thought upon knowing you.
I worked very hard to present that.
Well, it's really nice.
Because I don't know. You don't want that mentality.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's funny. Then if I take the overshirt off, I have prison tattoos and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah. But I do want to say that before we get into it is that like you, again, like you are the nicest probably person I know.
Thank
you would have no idea you were in prison and so forth. So just before we get into that story, that's what I want to say is that like this is insane to me that this has happened to you specifically.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I know. Well, see, and that's the thing. I own it. I did it to myself. Mm-hmm. I was on a path of bad decisions for a really long time and it culminated in me going to prison. And that's where I decided to do things different. And I was in there for 2 years. The charge that I was sent to prison for was trafficking of stolen property and it reads terribly.
Yeah.
And that one throws people off. So mine was an F3. And I'll tell you the story of how it how it happened, how I got charged with that, because I could have honestly been charged with a lesser one,
okay.
but that was up to the cop who wrote it. I sold a stolen item because at the time I was into drugs, I was selling drugs, I was making bad decisions.
What age were you?
I was in my mid-20s.
Mid-20s, okay.
And I sold a TV that was stolen. It ended up being traced back to me. I was charged with that. I had committed crimes before, but they were all drug charges. Possession of a drug, possession of paraphernalia, something like that. But ultimately, it was too many strikes. They said they're looking for prison time. So I said, okay, I figured, you know, I'm trying to be a realistic person. And I was charged with burglary and trafficking of stolen property. And the burglary was a stacked charge. And stacking charges, I wrote this down because I find it the funniest thing in the world. Stacking. Criminal charge stacking is when a police officer or prosecutor charges as many crimes against a defendant at once as they can. Law enforcement officers have full discretion over what crimes to submit against a suspect. In some cases, they put forth more charges than is fair for the situation, often in an attempt to strengthen the main case that the prosecutor wishes to pursue. And this is a legal...
Where is that from? That's from like what?
A website. I didn't put the...
Oh my God. Is that the actual wording of
yes.
like the...
Well, that's from a law firm.
Oh my God.
Saying that. And this is a legal thing they can do. So if I'm to arrest you and you have weed on you, well, I'm going to charge you now with possession and possession of paraphernalia and maybe like trespassing and disturbance. Yeah. And so I say, hey, I'll drop these if you plead guilty to this one. And you are like, but if you fight me, you got to fight me on all four.
Right.
Are you going to risk losing?
Oh, my God. So what was the original charge then? It was just trafficking of stolen goods?
No, he hit me with both of them, burglary and trafficking of stolen property. Okay. And that's what they said. They said, I was dead to rights on trafficking stolen property, 100%. I was gonna plead to it. I was totally fine with that. And they said, if you take it to court, our presumptive is going to be 11 and a half years. So if you lose, your sentencing will start at 7.5 years.
Oh my God.
He said, however, we'll drop the burglary. If you plead guilty to trafficking of stolen property, our presumptive will be 3.5 years.
Dude, what do you do? What an impossible choice to give to anyone.
I mean, right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, what are you saying? Like, okay, so I give up 7.5 years for sure, at least.
Are you smart? Do you have a good lawyer?
Yeah.
Because we do.
Yeah, exactly. We have literally all the money. So it's like you're pretty much pinned against
it. It's terrifying. And the whole time I was sitting in county, I had a public defender. You know, I didn't have any money. Yeah. I didn't know. But I knew I had no problem admitting my guilt. So I said, let's take the plea. We're going to plead guilty to this one. I did as much class as I could in county. I didn't have any really character references because I was a schmuck at the time. Mm-hmm. I wrote a passionate letter to the judge, and I was very lucky. And the judge gave me... So you start with a presumptive 3.5 years, and it can aggravate up to a certain amount of time, or it can mitigate down to a certain amount of time. It's not just whatever. So mine was 3.5 to 7.5 or to 2.
Okay.
And I was really lucky, and she mitigated it all the way down to 2. So I was only sentenced for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was very, very grateful for that. But the funny thing is that county is built to be so shitty and so terrible. And every month they're saying, plea deal, you can take it right now, you know, and we could get you out, get you past this. I didn't see the sun for 6 months.
Oh my
God. When I was in county. And I was also, I think this was Joe Arpaio, I can't remember, 2015? They still have the slop.
Yeah.
You get fed twice a day, and it's slop. It's dog food. It literally is but you don't care. You're hungry.
Right.
You're going
to
eat it.
You have to eat it.
So the conditions are terrible. And I'm not going to say, like, inhumane.
I mean, it sounds pretty inhumane just based off those two things.
It sucks ass. The whole thing is like, hey, you are a criminal. We've got to hold you and figure out what to do with you. But it totally breaks you to where I'm going to sign the plea. Like, let's just get me out of here. Everyone who goes to prison after spending time in county is ecstatic to go to prison because you're finally getting to prison. You can go outside. You can have cigarettes. You can have coffee. You can work out. Like, you can see the sun. Oh, no, we were so excited. I went with a group of 8 people. We all got sentenced at the same time. We didn't sleep the whole night we stayed up.
You're just like, excited.
Like a kid before Christmas, ready to go. Oh
my God.
Because, I mean, imagine like what it does to your head. Yeah. You know, you're fucked.
Yeah, the whole psyche of the whole psychology of that is just terrifying to hear. Is that the fact that you have anyone remotely in a positive affection to prison at the end of that is insane to me.
And then you enter the world and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, what did I just go through? God. Like, what was that?
Yeah. And I mean you enter the prison world and you're like, oh my God, like whole new ball game.
Yeah.
Everything's different. But anyway, so I was sentenced to 2 years. I was lucky enough, I got a Senate bill. I got out 3 months early and I entered into a program. When I got out, I had nothing because I wasn't real close with my family. I was making terrible decisions, mm-hmm. and I didn't have my friends. You know, they're not actual friends. They don't stick around when stuff happens. So I didn't even have any clothes. I literally had to borrow clothes from my brother to go to a job.
Yeah.
I had done restaurants before, got a job in a restaurant, worked my ass off, eventually went into management. Went through probation, did community service, all the fun stuff, got off, and I have done really good since. And it's more owning the wrong that you've done. I don't really hide it. Like, I tell, I spent time in prison, but showing that, like,
reform.
Trying to do things different and showing, like, it's possible. And the idea or stigma that we have of ex-cons and felons are not always wrong, but not always right. And in my experience, most of the people I came across were someone I'd bring around my family or they were good individuals. And a lot of them were just shitty circumstances, like being at the wrong place at the wrong time or impossible to choose choices. Like, what do you do? You know?
That's the thing. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So much to unpack there. But hold on. So I want to go back. First off, I want to go back to you. I think that's a really specific thing that I want to hear. Like, I just can't imagine going through that, hearing, you know, from someone in law, someone there to defend like rights and being like, listen, you can either do 3.5 year presumptive or for sure 7.5 year presumptive if you fight us. Just that alone, that choice is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But then you make that choice. I think everyone would make the choice that you made. That's crazy to fight that. Like, it's that or like a decade of your
unless
life is gone.
Sure.
Yeah. Unless you're absolutely positive, but good luck.
You better have some balls.
Yeah. Like, good luck with that. Can you imagine spending 10 years? I mean, like from let's say 25 to 35, like Jesus, those are great years. They're just like, they're gone. Yeah. They're just gone.
Oh, so, dude, yeah. I knew a dude. We got out at the same time. He did 20 years. He went in when he was 18 and he was getting out. Yeah. Super cool dude. I ran into him when I was outside. He was general manager of a car wash. Wow. He murdered a child molester when he was 18. He
went in really? For
20 years. Yeah. And so interesting. And you know what? Awesome, dude.
I can imagine.
Super cool. Thing. Like it was insane. But to know the background, you're like, okay, one, I have a healthy respect for you. Like, all right, like I'm not gonna fuck around with you.
Right.
But and then he even did really good. But so.
But there's stuff like that though, where it's like almost like vigilante justice kind of sense. Yeah. It's like they deemed it that this person,
how do you feel on that? That's a controversial issue.
That is super controversial.
I know my opinions on it.
Yeah, and I'm sure I agree with you.
Keep looking at the camera too.
Sure. Yeah, just in case.
I've got to address it every now and then.
Like, I kind of agree with that. We can move on past that, but I do kind of agree where it's like, dude, if I was a judge and someone like came up to me and they're like, yeah, like I murdered someone, but they like raped my 15-year-old daughter and so forth. It's like, I mean, like, you're probably sane. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be rare to fall on someone that didn't want to kill
that
person.
What would you do in that situation?
Yeah. Like, and it's like 20 years seems crazy. But anyway.
And I always think there's two sides to a story.
Yeah.
But still, you're like, damn.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot. Intense. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
But so you get hit with that decision. I think you've picked the decision that probably 95% of people would pick anyway. It's like, okay, I guess I have no choice here. I'm probably going to do at least 2 years in prison. You do it.
I was expecting 3.5.
So like, what's
fine with it?
What is, yeah, like you seem fine with it, but like what is actually going through your mind? You seem like, oh, that's 3.5 years. What are you going to do? Like, is that really what's going through your mind? Or are you like, I really messed up. Like that is like, are you being severe with yourself at all? Or are you more?
I mean, I am because that's the type of person I am. But what's funny is as soon as, so when you first get booked, they fingerprint you and they give you your charge card and your list of charges. And I saw those two and I saw they were in F3. And so then you get transported from where you got arrested to the city jail. Mm-hmm. And in that drive in the van, the guy goes, what'd you do wrong? And I went, man, I'm going to prison. I knew it. Like, wow. I just, for some reason, knew. And I thankfully got an acceptance pretty early. So even when I was in county, I was like, fuck it, just send me. Like, I'm cool. Let's just get this. So get me to the best place I can so I can try to go. I really didn't, I don't know. You feel like your life is over, but you're like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's like, I guess I did it. Well, I don't know. You seem very specific. I'm not, I, maybe that is
the normal. A lot of people struggle with it big time.
I can imagine.
Especially when the decision time making comes, it's so overwhelming. Hey, you have a wife and kids, you're not going to see them for 5 years. And you're like,
yeah. It's like, you know, well, yeah, it's like they're going to grow up. That kid's going to grow up without me. Like, yeah. There's so many thoughts coming to head. That's kind of what I'm realizing. It's just like you're in your mid-20s. At least for me, that is a huge pivotal point in your life where it's like, right. Okay, what is this life about?
Yeah.
And to be sentenced to go to prison for at least 2 years of your life. Oh,
it's intense. That is intense. I was very accepting of it. And still, even when I sentenced you to 2 years in Department of Corrections, I was like,
yeah, like, oh. I guess that's what's happening.
Fuck me, right? Yeah. Like, no, it's insane. It honestly, it's really hard to describe. And I just kind of, what am I going to do? Give up?
Yeah.
You know? But I take it, and at least me, because I was doing so bad, I was doing drugs and selling drugs and hanging out with bad people and on a path of even worse things. Mm-hmm. And I used the prison to, what are you going to do? Is this what you're going to keep fucking doing? And I really contemplated. And so that was the catalyst that helped me change things. And not everybody does it because you can learn all sorts of tricks and trades in there.
Yeah, so I can imagine.
You can... You know, become a better criminal. But mine was a little different. And maybe that's why I didn't go back.
I see.
But it's intense.
It sounds like it. Well, here's the thing is like, in my head, prison is a fantastic deterrent for me to not do things that I, you know, maybe seemed like a legitimate idea in the time.
Yeah.
It's like, well, prison time sounds bad. I don't want to do it. It sounds like there's a decent population out there that go to prison and they almost see it as part of the life. It's like,
oh, big
that's time. Just it. Oh, I'll be out in a year. That's a year. You know what I mean? That's fine. I'll get short back time. Out. Like, that's crazy.
When I would tell people, how long are you in for? I'm in for 2 years. Short time.
Short time.
Yeah. Big time.
It's 2 years. It's 700 days.
I couldn't bitch about my time. Oh, I've been here so long. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, dude, there's people doing life in here. Yeah. Like,
well, no, you've got dudes. So I was because my time was so short and my points were down, I was on a 2 yard. And so you have levels 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Five is like maximum. Mm. You have a lot of time or you're very dangerous or you're gang affiliated. 4. So 3 and 4s will have lifers. You were sentenced to life.
Yeah.
3 and 4 is where the danger happens. You can get murdered because you're in prison for life.
Yeah. Like, what else are you going to do?
Hit me with another one?
Exactly.
And so you will have people that are very committed. 2 yards, it's a lot quieter. You definitely have a good amount of violence. They're a bit more open, so there's more drugs and other contraband. But most people, they have to be under 5 years. So you'll have some people who did 15 years and they started on a 4 yard and they've worked their way down to a 2 yard. And they just don't want to talk to anyone. They want to do their last 5 years and just stay quiet and everything. So I was on like one of those.
Gotcha. Is it physically different yards? As in you're not going to see those people?
Yep.
The lifers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Because that would be dangerous.
That would be dangerous.
So like you have a whole prison complex and you'll have different yards.
Gotcha.
So for instance, my yard was here. Then you had the 3 yard and then the 4 yard was attached to it. Gotcha. And then there's different levels of security. Like mine, we can see the road.
Yeah.
Now we had fences and dirt and everything to track footprints if people came up to it. Gotcha. And it has to be a certain distance from the road. But the 3 yard is like fences upon something, upon a moat with crocodiles.
Yeah.
much more secure. Because again, like if you're a lifer, like why wouldn't you try to escape?
Yeah.
With me, I was like,
got something to live for.
The wall could fall down and a car could pull up and I would turn over. I was like, yeah, there's like, no, I'm not going to run.
There's no point.
Just do my time and everything.
Yeah. That's crazy. So then, yeah. Okay. So you get in 2 years, right? And so with that, I wanted to talk about like what's in it. Cause I'm weirdly more interested in what happens after you get out of prison. Like, I think there's a lot more there, but I do want to talk about what's in it because I know nothing. I know movies and shows, and I know they do probably a terrible job of portraying it.
I mean, like, kind of, because I swear to God, movies have done so much that it, like, people almost like try to make it that. You know, like, people are, this is how we act in prison.
Yeah, it's like I saw Shawshank. Yeah, yeah, like, that's what it is.
You don't have to do this shit. People do think, and I love cracking this joke, people think rape is really prevalent.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, did anything happen to you? I'm like, a rape? All the time. Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. it's not.
So at least in 2 yard.
Maybe. Yeah. It might be on the higher yards.
Perhaps.
But what is funny, though, is that it's like a high school sports team. So gay jokes and stuff, you know. I don't even know. I just guy play and horse around. But taken to an extreme level, but then with like a mixture of violence added into it and everything. And that's what was the weird like ridiculousness of it. People always just like strutting around and but so you can joke around like that, but then if you actually do anything sexual in nature, you will get beat up, kicked off the yard, things like that. It's like a huge no. Yeah. But I'm like, we joke and play like this, but then like I don't know, it's just there is a lot of politics. So here in Arizona, in other states, they're really gang driven. You got to join your gang. In Arizona, it's very race driven. So you join your race group. And the reason you do that is for protection if there's ever like a riot or anything like that, or just I don't know, that's what you do. They literally, you can't eat with the other races, you don't bunk, you can't live with the other races. So you can have a cell right next to them, but if you have a cell with bunk beds, it will never be Hispanic or an African American or anything like that.
Really?
They will not do the prison system will not do that because they know.
Oh, the system won't do it. Yeah, not just culture.
Yeah, they pick system. Your bed for you. They tell you where to live, and they will not do that. Mm. In fact, a lot of times, where I was at, they had some smaller buildings that had like separate rooms, and they call them six packs because there's six cells, 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. And when I say cell, it is literally a bed, a little shelf, and a little desk. And so you can look across the whole room and you can all see each other. They're not walled in. That's on higher yards where it's closed door cells. Mine were open.
I see.
But a lot of times they don't even mix races there just to avoid problems. It's very race driven. And so that's the politics in it is, what are we doing to keep our people good and healthy and promoted? And that's how riots break out is, a white person will piss off a Chicano or something and then it'll turn into something.
Right.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that, there's this political game and you don't understand it and everybody's always, are they challenging you? Are they joking with you? You cannot say certain words. You call someone a bitch, instant fight.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
If you called me a bitch and I didn't fight you, my people would fuck me up.
Right.
And I found that so silly. Yeah. Well, what if I just don't let him bother me?
Like, yeah, simply. Like,
nah,
no,
motherfucker. Like, that's you gotta not fight.
It. Yeah.
Punk, lame. Those are things like, but those are fighting words. So if you ever were wanted to fight someone, that you would say that. And then it is the funny thing too, and I was talking to my wife about this, is that you have your discovery packet. So per law, when you get convicted, everything, all the evidence, all the court proceedings, all everything is given to you. That's your right to have all this information. Well, the prison system has now said, all right, you're coming into my prison. Give me your papers. What'd you get charged with? What'd you do?
Okay.
And if you were a piece of shit and ratted people out or molested some kids, mm-hmm. I'm going to beat the living shit out of you and kick you off the yard.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. What is this place?
Like, it's
this
crazy,
is
right?
Insanity.
Yeah, yeah. So you get given your papers. So there are people who know about this and will hide their papers. Or say they got destroyed. And
I would do that,
It's not really a forgiving system. They say, oh, find them. Or we're going to act like you have something bad.
Yeah.
And that was the first one I saw. Someone, I think he had a crime with a minor. Mm. And he went into the bathroom and three people followed him and he left on a stretcher.
Oh my God.
It was, and you're like, this isn't fucking around.
No.
So life in there is, it's confusing and it doesn't really make sense, but then you can find structure in it. So like I said, mine was a quieter yard where a lot of people like to work out. They like to read. You have to have a job. You get assigned a job. Sometimes you can go pick a job. Like for instance, I eventually got a laundry job and you can do a side hustle doing that. And I was making great money and I was able to eat really well. you got to do side hustles. But I was also given a manual labor job where you work for 8 hours a day and I was being paid 25 cents an hour.
25 cents?
25 cents an hour. And then as your time goes on, you get upgraded and you can go up to 45 cents an hour.
Okay.
They do have skilled jobs. So let's say you were an electrician. You can be an electrician. They do have some jobs that are higher pay. Like you can join a fire crew. They have a lot of produce farms. The ones in Florence have Hickman's, which is an egg farm, and you can get paid $2 or $3 an hour or something. Now what they do, and I actually like this, is they take part of it and put it on your retention fund. And that's money goes to you when you get out. So they say, okay, 40% goes to you. I'm pretty sure they take taxes or take some shit. And then the rest, I know, right? Can't escape
it. Yeah, you can't escape it.
And then and the rest goes on your retention fund. So there are some people who will be there for 5, 8, 10 something years and they'll leave with like 10 grand because they've been working continually.
Right.
So you work, depending on your state, yard, other thing, or other programs offered, schooling. My yard offered one class. I did do it. It was a computer class. I did receive college credits.
Wow.
And you can also sign up for schooling. And sometimes you can get grants and the materials are sent to you and you can do it. But basically you try and structure it like a life. So you have your house, you're very protective of your house. Right. I would wake up every morning. You have to wake up on your own. There are like some alarm clocks, but like, I don't know, you just get used to it. You go and you eat breakfast, you come back. You get ready, you go to work or school, you come back, maybe work out or something. And then you can buy a TV in there. It's a little 12-inch TV. It's clear plastic. It has to have headphones in it. You might watch some TV or read a book. Mm-hmm. I loved reading. I read a ton. Yeah. You go to sleep, you wake up, you do it again. Mm. And you just carve out time like that. You just bang it out. And it's just, I mean, how often are we like, oh my gosh, this year went by so fast and everything.
Right.
And that's all you do is your world is the yard, like that's outside it. Stuff like COVID or some big world event.
Like at least me, concern.
I didn't care.
Yeah. You got your life. What's happening this is what
on
you're,
the yard? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're bringing in a bunch of new guards. Okay. I'm interested in that.
Like, yeah. Right.
But it's, you just... I don't know. I had a strict regimen of work and then working out. I was really lucky to have a good cellmate. We ended up living together when we got out, really good friend of mine. And we had a strict structure and I was so busy that I was tired by the end of the day. And so you're just knocking out days.
Yeah, you're just going for it.
And then, all of a sudden it's been 6 months or a year or something. And
sticking on that path of like the psyche of everything, like, how long did it take to kind of fall into that routine? Were you very open to that? Or like, how long did it take to kind of settle?
It takes a bit. It took me a while. And knowing what I know now about my mental health and disabilities and stuff, it's like, oh, that makes so much sense why it took you a bit. Some people fall into it really quick. Some people don't really fall into it at all. But it's just weird because it's... You kind of have to find your niche and stick to it. Like a lot of people will be on fire crew and they kind of stick together and they eat together and they work out together. And I get that. They go and fight fires and stuff together. A lot of people really like the library. And so you kind of, but you're also like just sent in there and then like.
Do whatever you want. So you have to have a job. Does it have to be 8 hours a day?
Generally they are. Right. Yeah. The prison system assigns you one. Now you can go and talk to what's called a CO3. So, it's a guard, a correction officer, but a three level, and they're the ones that can assign you jobs or help you apply for Senate bills to maybe get out early or possible programs. Now the availability of them and the resources behind them at least on my yard, we're definitely lacking. Mm-hmm. I've heard other yards have better funding or maybe someone who is more invested.
Yeah.
So it's like they're kind of there, but then at the same time, mine was almost like set up, but like,
yeah.
Like how the student loan forgiveness, aside from what's happening now, how like the program was set up and then they were like, damn, dude, 97% of the people are being denied. Like, yeah. Why does the program even exist? Mm. Kind of that mentality.
I see.
But there is like some stuff. It is also really hard to see these people. You can't just like, hey, what's up?
Right.
To see a doctor, you have to put in a health needs request and it can take 3 to 6 weeks to see someone. So like I got really sick. We also had a norovirus outbreak when I was there. It was crazy. They actually, real fast on this one, because yeah. This is a hilarious story. They tried to hide it. A huge outbreak, people getting sick, being carted off to the hospital, people shitting blood. Because norovirus, it's a foodborne illness, but if I were to throw up, you can now catch it.
Right.
So it was spreading like wildfire. One of my friends, they would take you in a line to the chow hall, ran off to a phone and immediately called his mom and said, Mom, we've been locked down for 3 weeks now, meaning you can't leave, you can't right. do anything. They're not letting us out. They're not mm-hmm. telling us what's going on. Call the news, this and that. Well, the news ended up showing up. And then things started to change. So they had an outbreak and they would come through and say, get the fuck on the wall. And they had pump sprayers of bleach, spray everything with bleach. And then someone would come through and wipe it down.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then they'd leave.
And then they're good.
And then, like, I remember they did a cooler full of Gatorade. And you got a little cone cup. Stay hydrated.
And that was their medicine. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you're good.
And people were, like really sick.
Really sick, I'm sure. Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like stuff like that. But, I got sick one time. It wasn't even worth it to put in a request because it would take so long.
Right.
You
just have to get over it? You just have to deal?
Kind of, yeah. Or if you get so sick that they cart you off, then you'll get dealt with.
Yeah, but
I was lucky. We had actually a good dentist. I had to get a crown done. And he actually did really good work. But what's funny is so I had a root canal done and I was given ibuprofen.
And that's it.
Dude. It hurts so bad.
Yeah, that's rough.
I remember I was like, oh, this is fine because he is able to hit you with a numbing agent or whatever. But then like days after I was what the hell happened to me? But he did actually a really good job. Their services like that aren't always offered. We were lucky we had a good dentist up in Winslow. And so,
gotcha.
But it's still, it just takes a
lot of time. Do you have to pay for that as well, by the way? Like for a dentist, doctor?
No. Okay. Well, taxpayers do.
Right.
Everything. So gotcha. That's a funny thing about it. Not always you can be charged for it.
Yeah. Just depending what it is. If it's like elective in a sense or not.
Because you have your books and like money on it and everything.
Gotcha. So, speaking of money too, like what are you spending money on? It sounds like food.
Yeah. Okay. So they have a commissary, which is a store. Arizona is one of the last states to still do tobacco. And I was so grateful for that. So you can buy chew and cigarettes, coffee, other snacks. Cause so the food they give you, I'm pretty sure it's gotta be like 1800 calories a day or something.
Okay.
Very small. Very small not portions, enough. Very small food.
Yeah.
Very shitty food. Because they gotta feed people on a budget. And so like I kind of get it. So you buy store, you can buy sodas and chips and candies, but you can also buy like tuna pouches and peanut butter and cheese whiz and tortillas and things to make. And so the cooking in prison, the homemade cooking, the things you see like people doing this is 100% there. Okay. I saw incredible like recipes and ideas and I did some of them, but that's really how you get. So that's what you need to buy your own food. You also have to buy your own soap, shoes, toiletry needs.
Is it expensive? You're getting 40 cents an hour. Like.
It can be. Yeah. Okay. If you don't have resources from the outside or a side hustle,
it's really difficult to get by.
I mean, it's being called indigent. But then it's used as a term of, I don't know, like talking shit, like oh, that person's indigent.
Yeah, because they just don't have money. Yeah, it's like,
so they're,
like I have nothing
dirty,
to do.
Your clothes are dirty and everything
oh
like that.
Oh my God.
But that's what I was. I was poor as hell. And so then I said, okay, what's something I can do to earn money? And so for a while, I was just cleaning people's cells. I would pull everything out. I'd sweep it out. Yeah. I'd wipe it down. And then we figured out a thing. It was like, okay, I clean your cell every day, and then every 2 weeks you pay me a bag of coffee.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it would, and I would have lists of what to do, like houses, and I would just walk around the yard and I would clean them. It would take me a few hours. Yeah. And then it was like, cool, now I have coffee. Okay, I want you to pay me in cigarettes and things like that. So then that was the thing I was saying when I got a laundry job. I would go and pick up your laundry. I would wash it. I would fold it and I would return it. Mm-hmm. And people pay good money for that.
I can imagine.
So I was making like $150 a month, which you're like, oh, that's shit. But in prison,
that sounds pretty good.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I had a fucking locker full of food. Yeah, and everything.
Good to go.
I was buying CD players off other people. Yeah. And like, and then they took that job away from me. And I was like, damn it. fuck me, right?
I'm curious about like that, the economy of like prison economy. Oh, yeah, like yeah. That's so curious.
People run stores. So I have sodas. And you want a soda. Cool. You can have this one. And when you pay me back, pay me in two sodas.
I see.
Okay. Now I've doubled it. And people will have thousands of dollars of stores. So you'll have a commissary that you can only get once a week, but you can go to the store. Hey, man, I really need a can of chew. Okay, pay me back a can of chew and a tuna pouch.
Mm.
Okay, hey, this person needs a tuna pouch. Okay, pay me back a tuna pouch and a Cheese Whiz. And
whoa.
Yeah. Whole economy.
And a lot of bartering.
People know the stores. And but at the same time, if you store something and you don't pay it, you're getting fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's how it works in drugs too. Yeah. When you buy your drugs, it's, hey, it's $10. So it's $10 worth of items, mm-hmm. or they'll pick the specific items they want. And that's what I would do with like the laundry. It was like, oh, it's $5 a month. So that's two pouches of tuna and a bag of coffee.
Gotcha.
Okay. So you pay me that once a month and every week. So four times a month, I wash your laundry or whatever.
That's so interesting. How would you get drugs into prison? How easy is that?
Oh my God. On my yard, you could get anything all the time. There was a guy I knew who, spice is really prevalent there, and selling spice. Mm. So you can get papers because you buy cigarettes and they put the littlest bin, they roll it up and it is a toothpick, toothpick thin. And you can sell those for, I think like $3 or something. People buy drugs like crazy. It's really easy to get in, especially on 2 yards, because there's a lot of jobs that go outside the yard. And so then people will just...
I see.
And they just get in there. Or, I mean, people even like run up. Like we got locked down one time because people ran up and threw a duffel bag over the fence that had like cell phones and drugs and shit.
Just like, okay.
Yeah.
Ah! Like, I'll just deal with it.
Right. And you're like, what the... And then like when you have those moments of realization, you're like, what the fuck is my life right now?
Yeah, like what am I living in?
What the fuck am I doing?
This is crazy.
And like, it's just... Because you got to think, you also have a lot of people who are really bored and have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And they'll find ways. Like the ingenuity in there was what impressed me the most. I was like, some of these people should be inventors.
Yeah.
You will have people that take apart a bed and rip out the fluffing and create pillows. Okay, take fabric and sew it together by taking the inside of a battery out and stamping it down and making little holes so they can have a sewing needle.
Wow.
You'll have people who know how to sew. If you were to buy a CD player or something, it's a clear plastic. They your number into it. Mm-hmm. So it's yours. It's only yours.
Gotcha.
You have people who know how to sand it down, wax it, and put in a new number so you can resell it.
That's amazing.
It is, right?
Yeah, that's really cool,
and
actually.
So it's called a yard TV or a yard CD player or something like that. It's absolutely fucking crazy.
That's incredible. Wow. Yeah, and so prison, the whole experience of it just sounds pretty incredible to me. Like just as a purely conceptually, just like intellectually, I just want to see what's happening in there. It's almost
it's crazy.
A cool science experiment. I'm just like, what do people do when they have a ton of time, nowhere else to go? And that's it. Just plenty of time for ideas, for anything, for that.
Yeah. Well, and then, dude, they will make decorative pieces and stuff that you can buy so that when your family visits you, you can give it to them. They'll go around. Pillows. Anyone need pillows? Oh, cards. Oh, paper mache things. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like,
it totally works. I mean, it's a world into itself. Like, that's what I saw.
It's a different culture.
Yeah.
Different
world.
And
if anything, I was like, well, good for people and like good for the human spirit of like doing something.
True.
And then you get people whose family visits and they can do like food visits. You get like X amount a year and they can bring you food and all this shit. It's really interesting. And that's why I think people struggle. You're in this world. So then when you go back to the real world, it is so different.
Right.
And I can only imagine like being there for an extended period of time. So even with my short time, it was fucking weird.
Yeah. I'm sure you acclimate. I mean, give it 6 months, you're acclimated.
You have to.
Yeah.
Like you literally have to survive.
Yeah. Surviving to that culture.
Sorry, my person's checking on my dogs. I'm making sure they got in okay.
Yeah, you're good. I'm like, So it seems like your kind of, let's say, strategy to prison was like, you know, kind of keep to yourself, do your thing, you know, be helpful.
And it's a very common one for a lot of people.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the day of getting out, just specifically the day, because I think that's the most interesting
thing. Remember it vividly.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Because again, you're acclimated 2 years. That's a long time to be in a spot, no matter where it is, the best spot or the worst spot. That's a long time to get acclimated to. That's normal. And then you get out. Do you usually just walk out the front door? It's like, all right,
kind
I'm going.
Of, yeah. So mine was even crazier. So I was supposed to get out in August, and then I applied for a Senate bill. And then you just sit there. And then you'll be like, hey, have we heard anything? And they'll be like, no, shut up. Because you're like asking.
Yeah.
So then I finally checked on something, and they went, it was May 4th. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, I have a release date of May 11th. And I went, this year?
Like a week?
And they went, yeah. I went, in a fucking week? And they went, yeah. I went, hold on, are you fucking telling me I'm getting out in a week? And they went, yeah. And I basically shit my pants.
Wow.
You have to arrange for people to come get you and all this stuff. And then there's a whole process getting out. But no, it is insane. A funny thing that happens, and this happens on your birthday too, when you're getting out, your friends or possibly friends beat the shit out of you. Especially beat your legs, because it's hilarious to watch someone limp to their car. And it is actually really funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Like, I'm not gonna lie. So I got my ass whooped. I was limping to the car, and then my brother, who big into firearms, he has his firearms business, had a gun in the car. So they were like, you can't drive onto the premises. Limp, so I had to walk a fucking quarter mile to his car while limping. But it's surreal. You're in the mentality for a really long time, because you're out, but you're also like, I was terrified. I freaked out my mom, because I was really lucky. My mom let me live with her for a little bit, and I would wake up like on the dot at like 6 a.m. I would pull everything out of the room. I was pulling the mattress out. I was pulling everything. I'd sweep it out, because that was my routine in prison. I would do my burpees. I would and work out, and I'd pull everything back in. She was like, what
are you doing? Like, yeah. We got space.
She actually called my brothers and was like, is he cool? And they're like, he's cool. Just let him let him do his thing. But I remember like getting in the car, and like, you're so excited. You haven't seen your family, and you're talking to them, and you're driving, and you're like,
shock, right? Yeah, I mean, it was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I was, I don't know. And you're so excited, because that's like the day you keep in your mind of like, this is what I am hanging on for.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. It's like overwhelming.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, now I gotta, and they do give you a huge list of things to do. Check in with your PO, get your address situated, get that's a job, get your social security card, your documents, all this stuff, whatever. So you do have like stuff to do, but I remember I was even like scared to go outside. Like,
did it feel wrong in a way where you're just like, am I okay to do this?
Kind of.
No one's checking.
I was like, oh my God, like drugs are going to hit me in the face and a cop's going to pull up.
Yeah, you're like, no.
Yeah, I was like, I was so scared to like, my brother cracked a huge joke on me. So he's big into firearms. He had his custom rifle. He's like, check this out. And I'm like, oh dude, this is cool. I'm holding it. And he goes, hey fucker. And he snaps a picture of me.
Like, whoa.
I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, I dropped it. Because it was like, and he was like, if you're ever fucking up, I'll show that to your PO.
Oh my God.
But you're so scared. And I follow directions to a T. And I know that is not always the case. Like some people are so mad at the system.
They're
like, fuck you. And so like you'll check in with a PO, and the PO's like, do this. And they're like, eh, maybe. Like, I don't fucking care. But that's honestly probably a lot how they go back and that's everything. Right. But I get that. Like, the system is so fucking frustrating. And then you're checking in with them, and they're like, you have to have a job, and you're paying them all this money, and there's not always a lot of resources offered to you. And you just get so frustrated, and you go and you're like, I'm going to apply for this shit job that I shouldn't be doing. And they're like, no, we're not going to hire you. And you're like, what do I do? Like, yeah. I have to pay this PO or he's going to send me back. And so you're like, well, let's see. I used to sell drugs and make money really fast.
Exactly.
So it's very easy to
That's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah, when you were talking about like how difficult it is to find a job, and yeah, it sounds like a nightmare. And if you apply to 20 different places and they all turn you down, you're like, what do I do?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, well, yeah, I used to sell over here, like with the homies, yeah. Maybe.
Or people might hit you up. Hey, man, yeah. Glad that you're out.
Let's continue. Let's keep going.
Do you want to? And that's one thing they do tell you when you're getting out. They're like, don't talk to your old people. But at the same time, like, I'm sure that's hard for people. What if you grew up with someone?
That's your culture. That's your thing. That's your family.
Yeah, or what if you're going back to the exact same neighborhood or something?
And there's just business as usual there. You're like, oh, okay, I guess like we can just continue.
Yeah. Oh, people say like, oh, I fell back into it. And I think a lot of people look at that with like, well, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But like, it's so easy. Like, if only people could understand that, like even for me, the drive to... like, this sucks, starting over and trying to do things right is so frustrating that you're like, you know what? This game is fucking rigged. I don't want to play it anymore.
Right.
I'm going to do things because it worked for a while.
Yeah. And just don't get caught this time.
Yeah. What Simple. If I did it just one more job?
Exactly.
Cliche.
There's 100%. At least conceptually, I can see that's what's happening is like you get out, even if you are perfectly reformed, you're like, no more.
Yeah.
But then you go back into the culture, like, and maybe you're good for a month, but then someone's like, ah, oh, dude, I got to, whatever, my car's broke down or something. Like, here, can you just run this for me to the, something easy, just so simple that you're like, oh, yeah, that's not big of a deal.
Yeah, and
you just slowly over time, just right back into it. Yeah. It's like, I could easily see that happening to anyone. Doesn't matter how reformed you are.
No,
that's what you're around. That's the world that you're in.
Not even that, though, is that now you are a felon. So, for instance, this happened to me. When I was applying to get off probation early, it took me 2.5 or like 3 years, and it was in process. And I was at a fast food place with my girlfriend, and a homeless guy came up and tried to fight me. He literally fuck you, and was like pushing my door. And I was so scared to fight him because I was like, if I hit this dude in the face, right then a cop will be pulling by, and I will get charged with assault, and I will go back to prison. I am scared to even defend myself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that like you do criminal speeding or something, that can be a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Like any crime, like I was so scared that like you're gonna get hit with something else. Like people, like I started working at a restaurant. Restaurant staff love to go, hey, come out, party. Nope.
Yeah.
What if I was at a party and there was drugs there and cops showed up or something?
Yeah.
And like,
that's crazy. Just being around the crime, not even like being a part of it. Yeah. Just being around
guilty by association. Cause if a cop's pissed off, fuck you, come here or something.
Yeah.
And it like,
that's actually something I want to talk about really quickly as well. For some reason, it doesn't seem incredibly fair that the cop who is doing whatever, like conducting what's happening is choosing what to charge you with. That seems off to me that they have purely that power and there's no, like, let's say, objective thing to be like, here's the situation. Cool. That's this, and this objectively.
Yeah.
Like,
so
that seems weird that one person has the power. Like, I could charge you with nothing or the entire book.
Yeah,
why? To me, that just sounds off. I'm like, that's weird.
So that's one I see both sides of. And it's funny, too. Most people are like, oh, you hate cops. And I'm like, one, I don't. Like, we just played a game. I was a robber. They were a cop.
Yeah.
I lost. They lost a few times, too.
Yeah.
So, like, but I don't. And I also think, like, cops are a necessary thing. Their job sucks. They're dealing with shitty people all the time. Like, that is very rough. But the whole thing is they're supposed to be part of the, like, prosecution, like kind of executive branch of it, where they were the eyes on the crime. I saw this this is my account witness, and cops are supposed to be well-trained to be civil servants where their word is supposed to stand for something. Now, obviously we have issues with like corruption and all that bullshit, but that is the thing, is that how it can fuck you sometimes is this guy who's a human, who has emotions.
Had a bad day.
Correct.
Yeah.
Can take it out on you and fuck your life over.
For years. I mean.
Right. And there's supposed to be a system of checks and balances where it goes to the prosecution. The prosecution determines, was there enough evidence to charge it? Okay, now you have, you're able to defend yourself.
Right.
All these things. But like at the same time, like I don't know. It's rough.
I mean, it's kind of rigged against you. I mean, immediately you're a felon in a sense, right? Yeah. It's like, so that's now, their pretext.
Yeah. Like, so they're like, hold on, you've committed crimes.
Yeah.
I bet you're doing it again. I'm going to go with this pre-notion in my mind that like, and it's freaky too. The first time I got pulled over, the cop was super nice. I was shaking.
Yeah.
I was literally like, oh my God, hey, just don't drive so fast. I was like, yeah.
Yes, sure.
but like most people, you get pulled over and you're like,
yeah,
whatever.
That is me. Cause I'm on the opposite end of that. Like pretty much every single cop encounter, and there have been like, you know, maybe like near 10 in my life. Yeah. All of them have been great because they chose not to charge me.
Yeah.
So I deem that as the norm. And so it's like, oh, whatever. But I've had, many friends where it's like, they just, again, the cop seems to have a bad day. I did the same, if not worse, crime of like, let's say speeding or something.
Yeah.
And then they get a huge ticket or like whatever it is, huge things happening.
Same
like how are both accurate? Like how are both true?
Right. Or maybe like there's multiple charges or something, or like, that's the thing, it's like, why did we make it where like, oh, this is a big deal, this is a for sure conviction or something like that?
Yeah.
It's really weird. And that's why, I really think more education and training and everything within our police department would work better to protect, because like, hey, if you are committing a crime and offense, yes, they should be there, but there should be some sort of fairness about
something.
It where like, okay, you committed this crime, I'm going to charge you with it. I'm not going to hit you with
all of this
bullshit or whatever. Or, they're going to engage you in conversation and threaten you with things of like, tell me about this, or, tell me about this and we're going to make this go away. Why is that an option?
Yeah, like how is that on the table?
Yeah. And that's funny too, because like, you'll watch shows about this, about people catching like drug dealers, and they're like, all right, man, just give me your supplier and he's all freaked out. So he does, and he sets up a sting. And that's what I'm saying is like, it's the same.
It's
two sides of a coin. It's just people like the police. Drug dealers do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
that's so true.
Or criminals, we're going to do this and you'll be off the hook and whatever.
Yeah.
That's all it
same
is.
Thing.
And like, I've never thought that like, oh, they're not no holier than thou. Like
no.
The interactions I've had with police, especially like growing up, like they're bullies sometimes, but I get it. Like, I don't blame
them. They're humans.
Yeah.
They're dealing with day to day shit just like us. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, it is. But I absolutely think it's a necessary thing. I would never think like, don't defund the police. Like, fuck that. No, we need that.
Yeah. Like, we need that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with that, so like, yeah, I agree that like my problem with this entire thing, hearing stories from you, hearing what friends have like gone through. Again, I've been very lucky and fortunate that like, I haven't been charged with anything and I'm good.
Yeah.
But I mean, I haven't done anything terrible anyway, but
yeah, that's your best bet.
That's don't do it. But what I don't like about the whole system is that it's super subjective. As in, like, it's up to the cop, then it's up to the prosecutor, then it's up to the judge. And then it's like, it's just like a lot of, I don't like how it's so human for something that's like, you're the one on the line here. That's their day job. They get paid regardless. Yeah. They're not doing time of if they mess up.
How many people did you see that day that you sent to prison? And like,
for years. And it's just like, dude, like, that's crazy that if you're just having a bad day, like they just had a fight with their wife that morning and they're just not in a good mood. Oh, you're speeding criminally. You know what? This is my only outlet for my day.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hit you with everything I possibly can. And then I can't do anything about it, where it's like, yeah, I did the crime, but like, dude, I've done nothing prior to this. Yeah. And like, it's fine.
Or let's say you committed a crime and you look like the guy that his wife is cheating on him.
Yeah.
And, and now he's pissed.
Crazy.
And that's why these positions are supposed to be without the human element.
Right.
But I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
Supposed to be checks and balances. Prosecutor checks cop. Judge checks prosecutor.
Sounds good on paper.
But when you're on the other side of it, sometimes you kind of feel like it's them three versus you.
Yeah.
And that's the whole criminal justice system. And that's a whole subject in itself.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble, is like, even fixing it, I wouldn't even know. I am no expert. I am not educated. I have just gone through it and you're like, that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
I have also seen other stories though of like people defending themselves and getting off and everything. I have seen instances where cops were not shitty and didn't charge people or didn't do something else. So like there is multiple avenues of which way it goes. But Yeah. Sometimes,
sometimes it bites you.
It's a really human system.
Yeah. And so,
but that's how a lot of our systems are.
That's a lot of them, honestly. Yeah, and like, again, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. That one just is so like, you know, pointedly bad. Where when it's bad, it's awful that you're like, whew, like, is that okay?
Well, that's, but, I mean, that's why Americans have the most prisoners per capita.
Right.
Something. Yeah, big time.
By a long, a lot.
And that's, I mean, we've damn near created it as a business. Like,
it's for-profit prisons. I mean, what kind of, just that, those words in the same, you know, like that's crazy. It's like, what do you, what does that even mean? Like, if that's what it is, a for-profit prison, then it's like, well, they can't lose money every year. So how are they going to make money? Well, they need prisoners.
Okay,
well,
then you're going to lobby to pass stricter laws.
The game is like set up from the beginning just from hearing that. Like,
and that's, and that's what's crazy. You're playing a numbers game with people's lives and you're like, dude,
you have to realize it's not okay.
Advocates on the other side too,
of course,
of Reformation, and the guy that wrote the Senate bill that I got went to prison. He got like DUIs or something like that, and he wrote a Senate bill and got it approved, and it got my ass out 3 months early.
Wow!
And I met this guy.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, what?
Like, how did, wait, what? Like, what?
Really, really well dressed. Like, you would think he's a fucking lawyer or something.
Yeah.
So there are like some advocates and everything like that. But no, you have some companies. We do a private prison, and we focus on, you know, drug rehabilitation. Okay, what are your results?
Yeah, like, what does that mean?
I'm curious. And then like,
because it sounds like you're making money the longer. Yeah.
Yeah.
The longer people get stay in, the more money you get. So like, yeah, you're reforming, but like, what does that actually practically look like on a day-to-day?
Yeah,
like,
I've known some people that have gone to them and they say it's much more structured with like classes and everything. And maybe some like better living conditions, but what I am always wondering is like, how is it being paid for? And so like, is your incentive having people? Now are you just saying, hey, everyone's being convicted, send some here, or are you hoping more get convicted?
I'm not sure how that works either.
I know. Yeah. And that's, I don't know enough about that, but it's concerning for me because you're like, are you pushing that? Like, you know, and
it's the fact that it's the product is people's lives and time.
Like, right.
That's not cool to me. It's interesting because I don't know. The whole thing is weird. But so I want to talk about Reformation as well with that. So someone who knows from the inside, I don't know anything about it. I didn't do that day to day. I just have a somewhat high level view of like what prison should be. For Reformation, for the average person going in, do you think they do a good job, regular prison systems under Reformation?
Awful. There is a 83.7% recidivism rate, I'm pretty sure. Or at least it was when I was there.
Was it 83%?
That was 83%. Oh my God. So 8 out of 10 people go back. That fucking easy to go back. Like, that's the shitty thing is like, one, everything is stacked against you. But two, like, you fuck up even slightly, like, fuck you, you can go back.
Right.
You have a probation officer that has a bad day and you fuck up on something. And maybe, okay, you made a mistake. Maybe you fucked up.
Yeah.
Violate or something. Now, they could also say, hey, I'm going to give you another chance or some shit like that. It's not ultimately up to them.
Right.
But they do have some, like, power. But like at the same time, like what if you are pissing dirty, you're on drugs and you're whatever, then like, okay, maybe you should go back. But the biggest thing I think is what happens when you're in there would make you not go back.
Yeah.
And there, at least where I was at, there's nothing done.
Nothing.
All you're doing is integrated in with these people. You're treated very animalistic. You group with people who are also criminals who probably have a bad mentality and you're angry all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, go out in the world. Don't fuck up. We're going to watch you. And 100%, I literally swore to myself I would never, ever do this again. And I stuck to it. And there was so many days where I would sit and just stare and say, what the fuck am I going to do? How the fuck am I going to do this? And it was so defeating to be denied a job, to be denied a house, to not have enough money because the only job you can get sucks. To be so scared to do a social event just because possible police interaction or something like that because it's such a high rate and everything. And it might not be that right now. Maybe they've done better. Like, again, I've been out for like 6 years now, and so maybe not as many people go back. But they literally sat us in a class, and I think there was 10 of us, and they said, 8 of you are going back. Only two of you are going to stay out.
They just say that.
It, right, yeah. And but I mean, it drove the point home because I looked around and I was like, fuck like, you, motherfuckers. Yeah.
I'm going to be the one stays out there.
Bitch, you could come back.
That's crazy.
Not me.
So it sounds like the strategy is kind of like parent to kid timeout in a sense. Don't do this bad thing or else you're going to be in a place you don't want to be.
Yeah.
A second of it versus, it sounds like very little, if at all, none reformation.
Yeah, no,
hey,
it's all punishment, no punishment. Reformation.
Right.
Big time. Yeah.
So, well, first off, I want to ask, like, did you have any kind of mindset change on what criminals were like prior to prison than being in prison? Was there any shift in perspective there?
Not 100%, because I was in the criminal life beforehand.
Okay.
But I mean, it is also, you kind of go into like the big leagues of criminals. Like I said, I was interacting with some murderers. Or you had people that like don't fuck with.
Right.
Like that's a serious motherfucker right there.
Gotcha.
So
nothing crazy, so shift perspective there.
Not a huge one. But definitely a sobering moment of where you're like, okay. And that, I think that's what did it for me was, okay, this is where I'm headed.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I gotta try to do something different.
So that's the second part of it is like for the Reformation, do you think pretty much purely it came from internally to out, right? Not outside in. As in prison didn't be like, here's what you need to do. Like, here's the steps on how when you transition out, this is how you're gonna do it.
When I was there was very little to none of that. For instance, like there was a guard that was a great person. I literally shook his hand when I left. And one of the rules in prison is you cannot talk to a guard by yourself. You always have to have someone with you because you might be telling.
Yeah.
Fuck you. But he treated you like a fucking human. He was fantastic. And he stood out to me that like, this is something that I don't want to, I want to have relationships like this or whatever. But there wasn't a lot of, hey, when you get out, this is how to find a house. This is whatever. Now, when you do get out, sometimes probation offices or parole offices will give you a sheet of resources of like halfway houses or other things. I have a few programs that are offered, but it's not really told to you. You kind of have to seek them out and find them and everything. And so like there's not a lot of coaching behind it. I honestly think anyone who stays out has a deep motivation and drive within themselves to do things different. And that's really where I wish that like that stuff could be forgiven in society's eyes, because like if you committed to yourself to do things so different, like you really have that acceptance. And so if people could see that and understand it, they would probably be like, damn, you know what? Okay, I'm kind of with this guy.
Yeah.
He's okay or something. But there's not a lot of offers and resources. Something interesting that I just looked up a little bit ago, they have this new thing and it is called a second chance certificate.
Okay.
So Arizona doesn't have expungement. They only have set asides. Mm-hmm. However, a certificate of second chance just started that potentially could be added automatically when, rights are restored, and it removes barriers related to occupational licenses, housing, and employment.
Oh, that'd be huge.
And it is, I found it on recordgone.com. So it's as close to like an expungement as possible. I'm 100% going to look into it. I literally just found it.
Yeah.
Didn't know about that. I think that did just start, but they don't even they don't even tell you, hey, this is how to get a set aside. Hey, this is how to get your rights back. Hey, they literally say, get out, find a job, go to your probation office.
Yeah.
And then at the probation office, they're like, don't do drugs. Are you committing any crimes? Do you have a stable place to live? Do you have a job? Did you pay your fees? Cool.
That's it.
Yeah. But at the same time, dude, I was talking with my PO one time and I was like, what's your caseload like? And I think he had like 50 something people.
Oh yeah. Caseload. So he's trying to like move along.
How do you babysit 50 fucking adults? Yeah.
Not effectively.
Who are probably kind of dicks.
Yeah.
They're probably exactly, not real cooperative. I was like, well, that's fucked.
Yeah.
But no, it's cards are stacked against you.
Of course. Yeah. And so, now we're moving out, right? You did the time. Now you're coming out and now you're dealing with just a shitstorm of stuff coming at you, like, oh, I guess I can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't even get the job I want, even though like I'm very qualified for it and everything for it, just because.
That happened to me a lot later in life, not really when I got out, really? Especially during COVID.
Right, so first you were saying something that like it takes time, right, for not, you don't just get all your rights back, right? And you also, the like background checks show certain things until a specific amount of time.
No. So a lot of your rights, you don't get back until you file for them. You have to you have to file with the court to get them sent back to you. Otherwise you can never get them back. Mm-hmm. They're permanently taken away from you until you say, hey, I've completed everything. Can I please have them back? So for instance, for the rest of my life, I cannot use, possess, own a firearm.
Right.
Now I could appeal that and get it back, but it was permanently taken away from me. And some of the other rights are like, I'm 99% sure I can't fucking vote. Cause I could probably get it back if I applied for it, but that was a whole, that was a whole random thing. Fucking charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I was like, oh, you owe $4,000. I'm like, you know what? Voting's not that
important. Yeah. It's like, I'd say that.
Just kidding. Yeah. Voting's important.
but paying $4,000 to vote, I'm sure 90% of people wouldn't do it.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
So then you got denied jobs.
Yeah, I expected to flip burgers, basically. Yeah. I went back into restaurants. I had worked in restaurants. I worked as a server. And then that's how I went into restaurant management. Because some guy was like, hey, have you ever managed before? I said, no. He said, you want to? I said, sure.
All right.
And it fucking sucks, first of all. Yeah. But I didn't think there was anything else. I have no formal education. I was an ex-con. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the best career choice I could make. And it is honestly a good career choice. Like, there's a lot of people who can make really good money just by working hard. And it is a rough job. And I went into it and I moved up where I was running restaurants at a really high level and I was making really good money and I was doing really like well. And then I ended up kind of shifting out of restaurants and I was applying to other places and I've been denied like a few times where I've gone through multiple interviews. And then it's funny, they offer me a job. Hey, we'd like to offer you a job. We're really happy about it. I say, great. And they say, okay, we just got to, run a background check or do a drug test or blah, blah, blah. I say, awesome. Okay. So about the background check. Yeah. Hey, this is what's going to show up. This is the situation. This is what happened. This is what I've done differently since. And they go, okay, we appreciate your honesty. Let's run the background check and we'll get back to you. So not a no. Background check comes back. I get an email. Unfortunately, we are not able to offer you the job. And it's happened. Like 4, 5, 6 times to me.
Yeah.
Where you're qualified, you interview, they like you, they
you offer got you the job. Yeah. Yeah, you have
then
it.
Then they pull it back.
How demoralizing is that?
It sucks.
I mean, I can't imagine that where it's like, oh yeah, you are a candidate we want to hire.
Yeah.
Oh man, just you did. Kidding. Yeah. Oof, you're too qualified, but you are. You sadly.
Well, it literally like it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Like, it is. You're so defeated. Like I remember a restaurant management job, a lower position than I had. I was an AGM and I was going for just like a front of house manager position and they withdrew it. And I was like offended.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I've done better than you. But then at the same time, you're like, I don't know.
Well, again, the decision is, do you want to hire an ex-con? Right. That's how they phrase that.
Well, that
question.
Oh my God, he's got felons.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Or felony, excuse me. It doesn't matter about the person. And that's what I'm like. I wish you could look at the experience. And my biggest question with people is just like, at what point do you forgive and start to move on? And I am totally fine with do the crime, do the time. A punishment should be there.
Sure.
But like, at what point is it going to be me as a person versus me as the felon?
As my past.
Yeah. And Some places, some licenses say, oh, you can't be convicted of something within 7 years. So I guess as more time goes on, people are more forgiving of it because you've clearly shown you're doing things different. But there's not really a set standard with it. And it's honestly probably up to that person doing the hiring.
Yeah.
They run it and they read it and they go, no.
Yeah. It's up to that person, but it weirdly, again, works against you.
Yeah.
Usually where it's like, well, you know, box checked. I guess we can't do it then. You know what I mean? Simple enough. But it's strange to me that it's so subjective going into prison and then weirdly objective coming out where it's like, oh, that's it. You're an ex-con. Sorry.
Yeah. oops. Oh, you're stamped with that label.
Can't do it. Like, yeah. It's weirdly objective. It's like, again, like the human element was there. Oh, you seem really qualified and really fun to work with, and oh, you'd be perfect for this job. Oh, sorry. Simple enough. Can't do it.
What if you did one simple mistake? What it like? That's my, it. I was making a ton of bad decisions and like whatever, but like, what if you had one bad
just
mistake
one.
Or yeah. something, and then now someone's. You never made
for
mistake.
Years to yeah. a lifetime. Yeah, yeah. You can't do certain
like
things.
You've never fucked up before. No, it's really weird. It's super frustrating. But I think like that's why you have to just keep going.
Yeah.
And so when COVID happened, it happened to me on 3 fucking jobs. I was so mad. I was doing a restaurant in Oklahoma City, and I came back, and this is when COVID happened, and everything shut down. And so then I just started looking for random jobs, and it was hard to kind of get them, but yeah. I had 3 interviews where I was offered jobs, and all 3 of them rescinded it because of my background. In a row, 3 in a fucking row. That's and I was crazy. Like, I remember just sitting there, and I was going through a divorce at the time too, and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. Like, what do I do here? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. Again, the most sane person, it's very easy again to dip back.
I was trying to be logical and everything. And then you were literally like, holy shit. Like, I don't know. Cause I tried to go do something besides restaurant management, and I lost it. So I said, okay, restaurant management. I applied and interviewed and got offered a job, and I lost that one. And then it was like, what do I do?
That's do so do? Crazy.
No, it's super frustrating. And I wish there was like a system kind of set up for that, or like an advocate. Now there is some stuff that you can find online. 211arizona.org is a really good thing of resources, and they will have employment programs or resources, or sometimes you can get grants.
Yeah.
You have to seek these out and find them. There are some that are offered. New Leaf, AZ Common Ground, Hope's Crossing. I've heard of that one before. But how well they're run, their resources offered, how effective they are, I have no clue. And it probably depends on a lot of different factors. Mm-hmm. But there is like some shit you can do. You can sometimes also Google online stores that hire felons and things like that. Doesn't mean you're going to get the job.
Right.
But it means, you know, maybe you're not going to... not get it right away and everything.
At least there's something.
So yeah, I'm gonna turn the volume down.
Yeah, you're good. But since then, I mean, it's been 6 years, and now you found some footing.
Yeah. So well, I think I was really lucky, and then I worked my ass off. I was in restaurant management, and I really built my life and my image and everything, and wanted to do things differently. And I said, I'm gonna be successful, and I'm gonna act like I'm just like everyone else. You know, hey, I'm just doing my best. I'm just working hard. I'm trying to get through life. And I tried to act like I wasn't like an ex-con. And now I'm doing like pretty good, but it's funny because it is like kind of always there. But like what else are you supposed to do?
Keep moving forward.
Yeah, you have to keep going with it. And it's funny too, because I'll come across people that like commit crimes or in a shitty situation or within drugs or something like that. And I am half no sympathy for them or half really want to help them. And the biggest difference is where are they at in that point of if they're still totally fucking up. My really good friend, the one I was talking about, taught me something when you get out. If they are not copacetic to what you're doing or conducive to what you're trying to do, cut them out of your life. Like, so you got out, you're going to try doing better. You're going to try to whatever. If you have your best friend of 20 years comes like, hey bro, let's just do this one run. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Cut him out. Do not ever talk to him again. He is not going to, you are trying to do this different. And you literally have to do that. So if I come across someone and they're still committing crimes and everything like that, don't have time for you.
No.
Now, if someone is just getting out of prison or something and wants to do things differently, I have a ton of empathy for him and want to like, keep going, man. Yeah. Like, is there something I can do to help you? You want me to fill your tank of gas so you can drive around for jobs or something like that?
Yeah.
But if someone's like trying to fuck up more, I'm like,
that's
fuck
off
then, go fuck up. you're literally creating a bad name for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And I say us, but like, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Let's just say you're just trying to build like the culture around you, right? You're not trying to get back into prison culture. So right, you got to build up this, reform.
Yeah, like put a different face on, you know? Yeah. Like we don't, it's really hard. When I first got out, I remember I spoke terribly. I spoke slang and uneducated talk and, hey, dog, damn fool. Like, and it felt so normal. And I remember my brother checked me. Hey, man, just stop. Just talk normal to me.
Yeah.
And I realized, I was like, oh, my God, I'm talking like an asshole.
Yeah.
And so that was the one where I was like, oh, I do need to really be thinking about what I'm saying. And I try. And so I'm going to try and think about my words better. Yeah. And like, I think that's what people need to do.
Definitely.
But I was taught in there, own it. Don't hide it. You know, you did it. It is what it is. They will accept it or they will not.
That's right. Just keep moving. Yeah, keep moving forward. I love that. Well, here, we're running out of time, but my last question to you is, well, I do wonder, first of all, this isn't the question, but when you look back on the prison time, is it a very negative kind of memory or is it, what is it like when you think back?
It's bad because it was so shitty and so stressful. But again, with me, it was the catalyst to changing things. So I remember it in a positive light. I would never want to do it again. Don't want to go through it again because the emotional roller coaster, the instability, there's just all the toughness. Don't want to experience that again, but I look at it as, okay, that thing changed things. We're better now. It's fine. You had to go through that. And it honestly, like it taught me a lot of things. I realized I was a lot stronger than I thought I was. Showed me a lot of things I didn't want to do. I don't know. And it brought about an experience. It definitely will, I feel like, humble your ass. I've been told by some people, oh, you're really humble. And it's like, yeah.
It'll do that. Yeah, it'll do that.
I got my ass kicked a few times and stuff. Yeah. So
that's kind of my last question to you. Is there something you kind of brought from prison that, yeah, you have the reformation, the morality of it, so forth. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that was a very transitional point. But on top of that, something else that you brought back that is a super positive thing in your life, like discipline, routine, something like that.
Discipline. I was young and stupid. And a lot of people in their mid-20s are.
Yeah.
And so I see other people making kind of almost similar decisions. I'm like, you're just young and stupid. I didn't have a lot of like role models or mentors. And like, I wish I would have, but, it was a reality check for me. It said, okay, you've got to stop fucking around. I was 25 when I went in, I was 27 when I got out, like, Jesus Christ, you're 27. What the fuck are you going to do? And it did, it taught me discipline, and perseverance. And that is, I think, the only reason, and I wouldn't say I'm successful yet, but I'm gonna be, I'm getting there. Is perseverance. Like, I may not be as good as you or as smart as you, but I will bang my head against this wall as many times as I need to until I get it right. Because I don't know, I've done shitty things. So like, it's fine. And I honestly think almost anyone who gets through it and gets out and does not go back has to have it. A lot of people do talk about it a lot because it's such a traumatic experience, for lack of a better word. Like, it you're just like, God damn, that sucked.
Yeah.
And no part of that was fun.
Yeah.
So I would really think it would teach that. And I really do try to look at it as that positive light of, you made it through this. This is fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. Shut up and breathe for a second. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you, Cameron, for coming on. Thanks for telling the story, honestly. I'm glad I heard the full thing finally. Yeah, like, I really was so curious. And again, I feel like a lot of people have that implication that, you know, you don't want to talk about prison time, that is a taboo subject with prisoners.
Right, yeah.
But I wanted to hear that, and this is the first person I've ever talked to who's had an experience and was very open to talking about it and has had such a positive transformation post.
I'm apprehensive. It's hard talking about, especially like it concerning like your professional life.
Yeah.
But I just think that like sometimes you have to, and I feel like it is good for people like to know. And then if, I don't know, someone else, one person, oh shit, I didn't know these resources were there or something. Exactly. That's cool. Yeah. I'm with that. But I mean, I appreciate you having me on this. I was nervous too, because I was like, you do have to like hide it. You have to wait for like the right time to tell people. So, cause if you tell people like right off the bat, they're gonna be like, oh God. And they'll have that pre-notion and not get to know you. But at the end of the day, I'm like, fuck it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And again, positive transformation. But do you have all the social medias up? Do you have everything
going? No, not yet. Not yet.
Do you have any idea what the names will be?
Nope.
Okay, that's fine. When we post this, and hopefully those social medias will be up, I'll put them in the description.
It should be, it should be. It's going to end up being Your Trusted Realtor.
Which is great.
But I don't know if I'm going to have to throw my name on in it and everything. And that's the thing, is that from this to that, trusted now, doing good, trying to help other people do good.
Love that. Well, again, when that comes up, I'll put it in the description.
We'll post it up. We're in early phases and everything. So.
Sounds good.
Good things coming.
There you go. Well, again, thank you so much. And until next time, everyone.
Thank you.